The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in on Monday. It's Grant and Danny on the Fan. It is just after 2 o'clock on November 11th, 2024. We are taking you all the way up to 6:30 tonight. We are looking forward to making some sense of what we watched yesterday with the Steelers getting a one-point win over the Commanders, 28-27. Jay Gruden will be on the show for his normal Monday appointment at 5 o'clock. We'll talk to Austin Eckler tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Quick turnaround, though, because Thursday, coming very, very quickly, the game of the season to date, Washington 7-3, needs to get up off the mat for the Eagles. Hello, Danny. How are you?
Hey, buddy. Not much time to lick your wounds, to your point. If there's such a thing as a bad loss while losing to a good football team, Washington tried to do it yesterday. Like you told me before the game, they'll lose by a point to Pittsburgh. There's no shame in that, right? For a team that's ahead of schedule against a good quality football opponent that's as well coached as any team in the sport on an annual basis coming off of a bye week, there are a lot of built-in things where you go, yeah, maybe a young group that's not quite ready for prime time loses to a really quality opponent, lessons learned, we move on. The way that it happened yesterday has really stuck in my craw. And maybe that's a sign of positivity too, in the sense that the expectations are higher now. If this is Rivera riddled with mistakes, Sam Howell making errors all over the place, guys that shouldn't be on NFL rosters dropping passes, you go, yeah, game effort, that was awesome. But the bar's higher now. And again, maybe that's probably a good sign, but I am bitter from yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's actually really healthy, honestly. I think that is indicative of a changing of the guard around here.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's really two ways to look at this game. There is the house money season, house money game, you almost beat the Steelers perspective, which I don't completely subscribe to by any means. And then there's the flip side of that, which is, oh, give me a break. You're up 10 points in the third quarter. You're at home. You've got a team on the mat. And basically all you've got to do is make one or two plays that were there to be made for the entire second half. You couldn't do it and you lose. That's a bad loss. I'm somewhere in the middle, if I'm being honest. I don't think this one burned me as much as it did you because of the nuance in the context here. They did not have Brian Robinson at running back, and they didn't have two of their top three tackles going up against the best defense they're going to face all season and easily the best defense they have faced so far this year. And despite Trent Scott, who I don't think is a starting NFL tackle, I'm not even sure that he is a quality swing tackle, like third tackle for a championship-level NFL team at this point. He's going head-to-head with T.J. Watt yesterday. You told me that going into the game. I'm expecting a bit of a fiasco off the edge. There's going to be sack fumbles. There's going to be some blood for Jaden Daniels. I thought they did a pretty good job. They didn't have their automatic kicker, who has not missed any kicks. They signed a guy who hadn't kicked in 3 years. That wasn't an issue, despite him kicking from deep a couple of times in the game. So, across the board, I actually thought yesterday went a little better than I would have anticipated. On Friday, when we did our show out in Bethesda slash Rockville, whichever you prefer.
North Bethesda Rockville.
Which, by the way, was a blast, and thank you to everyone who came out.
Sport and Social was a 10.
The Friday field trips have been remarkable.
Yeah, we've been hitting bolts, dude.
I am really excited about how this is going. And I just think the people out there, Larry Bird and company, they couldn't have gotten the show more. You know, they were obviously listeners, but they just really, really fun to work with, and we just thank them for their hospitality. They were excellent to spend the day with. But I bring that up to say I picked Washington to beat the Steelers on Friday. When I found out Andrew Wiley was out, and without him and Lucas, and without Brian Robinson, who was ruled out as well, I switched my pick yesterday pregame with Linnell and Denton. I said, Pittsburgh's going to win the football game. I just didn't think they could block the Steelers. And they actually did a pretty good job. There have been games this year when Jaden Daniels has had as many as 21 pressures, you know, when he's passing, 17, 16, 13 in games this year. He was only pressured 11 times yesterday. They actually acquitted themselves pretty well. Now, they dropped too many passes. They made too many mistakes. I understand that. But I think, considering who was available and who wasn't, Steelers off of a bye, not lost on me. Tomlin 14-4 in that situation. 8 straight years with a win. I thought yesterday was more encouraging than discouraging, I'll be honest.
So Hal matters so much to me here. Had it been two backups or three at times on the offensive line and that, you know, T.J. Watt and company having a field day, I'd go, what are you going to do? That sucks. You can't match. They beat everybody, let alone your backups and your second stringers.
Which is probably what you were expecting, I'm guessing, like me.
Yeah, I mean, seeing that no Andrew, which by the way, how crazy a year has it been? Now we're going, oh, Andrew Wiley's out. They can't afford to lose him.
So two things. One, he's been better and good. Like, he's just been legitimately good. Mm-hmm. Second, they don't have an option because Lucas is hurt.
Yeah.
If Wiley was out and Lucas was available, I don't think we'd be saying this. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Cornelius Lucas is very solid. Your guy that's supposed to replace Andrew Wiley was also out.
Yeah, Biadasz is hurt.
You were down to
time,
your third right tackle against the single best left defensive end in the NFL.
So if that's how the game got taken over and they couldn't manage a forward pass because T.J. Watt was wreaking havoc and game wrecking, I go, yeah, I get it. That sucks. That had nothing to do with dropping passes. That's got nothing to do with not being able to field a punt on consecutive punts by Lamide Zaccheaus. That's got nothing to do with boneheaded penalties. I mean, man, oh, man. To me, this is a story of missed opportunity. You can get away with it one or two times. You can't get away with it constantly.
Well, you play a team as good as the Steelers,
yeah,
and you make as many mistakes as they did, you cannot win. Right? I mean, just flat
out. That's the tail of the tape to me, and that's the part that burns. Like, this should have been the story of, can you believe they did? Like, remember when they played Cleveland, and Myles Garrett had zero stats, had as many stats as you and I did? And we're going, oh, my God, this is incredible. Throw out what you thought about the O-line. This is the new paradigm. This is the new reality. If they beat the Steelers yesterday, just by making normal plays, nothing exceptional. No one's even asking for, like, third down war daddy stuff where you're winning some tightly contested balls like their guys did in huge clutch moments. But if you overcome what you basically did yesterday by dealing with that excellent defense and all the pressure, the story today is give Bobby Johnson more money. Give everybody that's in charge over there all the flowers and throw flowers on the ground like they're the king of Zamunda walking into the room. Like, this is unbelievable what they overcame. Because they did that, and then it was stuff that regular guys that they're going to count on the rest of the way making either mistakes or being limited, and you're just going, damn it. You did the hard part. The hard part is stopping Pittsburgh from ruining everything. You did that. And you still lose that game because of stuff that you would count on guys doing 100 times out of 100.
That's where I'm not overly discouraged, honestly, because I don't think these mistakes, and Dan Quinn was asked about this today in his press conference, like, are you worried because it's such a quick turnaround going into the Eagles game that you've got so many things to clean up? And what he basically said, and I agree with this, the stuff that we have to clean up happened in that game badly. It's not really who we're going to be. It's not really what we've been. You know, everyone talks about the drops, and they should. You could assign as many. If you want to call a drop a ball that hit someone in the hands that they should have caught, I think you can realistically make the case there were 6 or 7 times where if you just make a play for your quarterback, you can make the catch. Now, by definition, there were not that many drops because the definition of a drop is basically that a defender does not influence you dropping the football, and it's within the what we call the, you know, the body, basically the catch radius. Mm-hmm. You're not making catches out wide athletically. And so, like, PFF, as an example, assigned 3 drops in the game yesterday. De'Ami Brown in the end zone, which was pretty obvious. Luke McCaffrey on the sideline on the ball that hit him in the hands right before he got blown up on a play that Daniels kept alive. And then the really, really bad drop by Zach Ertz. I think it was like a second and 11 in the middle of the
field.
Ended
up having to settle for a field goal.
When you're watching on TV, I bet you couldn't even tell he dropped it at first because he drops it. It bounces right up off the ground back to him, and he falls down. It looked like a catch.
Yeah, because his normal routine is that. Catch, fall to the ground almost immediately, either losing his balance or dragged down. And that one was killer.
Those were the three they actually assigned. But there were other times, you know, a couple times with Noah Brown with his hands on the ball.
Just make a play.
At the end of the game, if he makes that athletic catch with Pierre crashing into him on the back shoulder ball, a little underthrown, but still a very catchable, very solid, give your guy a chance, let's go win a football game moment from Jaden in the offense. If he makes that catch, you're in field goal range, you kick it, you win the game. And they just didn't make those plays.
Right.
But there were so many other things they didn't do that they could have to win, right? They never turned the ball over. They've turned the ball over three times all season. It was only once yesterday, but how big was the muffed punt inside the 15? What that did, Danny, in my opinion, is it basically said to Pittsburgh, hey, you guys faked that punt and you gave us the ball at the 15-yard line for an easy touchdown. We're going to wipe that away by giving you one now, too. It basically, that is a game-changing break. You win because of that play, but then you essentially just took out your dry eraser and you erased it off the board and said, actually, we'll give you a drive that starts inside the 15 now just to make sure everything's evened out. That was a killer.
That was devastating.
Quinn did say today that he's sticking with Alameda Zacchaeus as his punt returner after two muffs put the ball on the ground twice yesterday. That's such a quick, next game Thursday. I worry about that mentally a little bit for him. Because he did put one on the ground against the Panthers earlier in the season as well. That's three this year.
Yeah. So I don't know if it was because it was a left-footed punter and if the spin was different. I just know that I've never seen anybody look that uncomfortable. That's not true. I have. And they got replaced as punt returner because of it. I mean, it looked like he was terrified of the football. Like it just was going to hit him in the face or hit him in the shoulder. Like he hadn't done it before. And I know he has. But man, those are tough. And again, you already said it, but I'll double down. You can get away with that against Carolina. When your offense is going to walk up and down the field and score against the team that's beaten, that's looking for an excuse to, go play golf. Not Steelers, man. You cannot do that against them. You can't do it this Thursday, and you can't do it the next time you play the Eagles, too. Those teams are too good to allow for more than the occasional mistake. Because there's going to be some. There are going to be moments where you try to run upfield before you catch the ball. Right? Pittsburgh had one. The fake punch you mentioned. That's a 60-yard gain. Maybe it's a touchdown. The guy drops it. Just flat out dropped it. Perfect call. Perfect everything. They had it. He drops it. They made mistakes, too. Washington made a lot more of them. And, when it kind of came to winning time, their guy was better than your guy on a couple different spots. That's what it is. Like, you could only overcome so much unless you're one of these, before free agency 49ers, 91 Redskins juggernauts, right? And you're not good enough. Nobody is right now in the NFL, I don't think, to overcome that many mistakes in crucial spots.
Not against a really good team.
Yeah, not against a good club.
And Pittsburgh at 6-2 coming in, now 7-2. And I want to keep saying this. Off of a bye.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple weeks to prepare.
Yep.
Refreshed.
The plan showed, I thought, for them,
rested.
By the way.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Defensively, they had the best plan against Jaden Daniels. Daniels' running was a complete non-factor. He had 3 attempts for 5 yards. They spied him a bunch with Patrick Queen, who, by the way, is way faster than I thought. How did Ravens fans not like that guy for a couple of years? What am I missing? He was awesome yesterday for the Steelers. I thought he single-handedly did a nice job at erasing some of the running threat that Jaden Daniels has been. They did not get anything in the scramble game from Daniels. Daniels all season long has scrambled more than every other quarterback and for more yards, and he didn't have a single rushing yard as a scrambler yesterday. They kept him in the pocket, which is what they wanted to do. Now, in the same way that when he was in the pocket against the Ravens, he lit it up and almost beat Baltimore, they almost won the game anyway because he can make plays from the pocket. And if he had a little more help from his receivers yesterday, I think they probably would have won. I know you're not allowed to say anything other than Jaden Daniels should be the MVP and he's the greatest quarterback who's ever lived. I thought this was, since Tampa, probably the most average game he's played. Fair? I thought he was a little bit off with his accuracy on some throws. He missed that Luke McCaffrey throw from the end zone that would have been maybe a 98-yard touchdown.
It would have been a huge play,
but
one
way or the other. Would have been 60 or 70 yards. There was a play to Zacchaeus, actually, where he was coming across the middle of the field, would have been a huge chunk right toward the press box. He was out wide. It kind of went off of it, you know, the fingertips or palm when he kind of missed him wide. I thought it was, again, the standard for him has been that he has played like an MVP and at an elite level. I'm not saying he played badly. Mm-hmm. I just do not think he is. If you're looking at it like a plotting chart where his dots are always very high, I would say this was lower down this past week.
I think that's fair.
Than the level he has been playing.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Also, the lack of running. He's a dual threat. Like, that's part of the equation. Mm-hmm. After every game, we look at it, and he ran for 30 or 40 or 60, or he had the back-breaking first down scramble. There was nothing from him on the ground.
Yeah, that was taken away. I mean, again, this is the thing that I worry about, right, as the season progresses, is does somebody go, ooh, that's a good formula? Now, not everybody has what Pittsburgh has on defense. I don't know how many opponents they've got coming up are going to be that good.
I mean, I've seen that all day. People are like, ooh, the blueprint's out. Okay, who's your Patrick Queen? I mean, you got TJ right. Watt. Highsmith got hurt, but you got Highsmith.
And Preston Smith out of the bullpen and Minkah Fitzpatrick and the like. So, yeah, I mean, easier said than done. But it is something I am concerned about, by the way, just given Kingsbury's history and given – you know, to me, that game reeked also. I imagine you might disagree, but in those moments, you don't need it against the Giants, Carolina, Cleveland when they've given up or anybody that's bad. That was one of those. Terry McLaurin made that 50-50 grab, made that huge play, toe tap down the side, and we go, damn, that's a grown man. George Pickens made it for them. Mike Williams makes one for them. They could have used another one. They could have used somebody in those moments.
Yeah.
And, you know, I understand the there wasn't a lot of opportunity to add somebody like that. And I know they don't want to, you know, think about it in the future, but that to me is a priority going into next year. I don't even want to talk about next year just yet, but
100%. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. Their number two receiver is a guy that was cut by the Texans before the season started. There's just a difference between like want versus need to an extent. And here's what I would say. It's like talking about an extra starting pitcher. 30 teams want an extra starting pitcher.
They could use that. Yeah.
30 teams need it. Of course they need one more weapon in the passing game. But is it worth the assets? Are they the type of team week in and week out, by and large, that is going to bring in a receiver and feed that guy and involve that guy and allow him to put up numbers? Week to week, Noah Brown's basically a 2-4 catch, 20-50-yard guy. That's mm-hmm. not because he's Noah Brown as much as that's the role. You know, last week was probably as high, or yesterday, rather. 7 targets? I mean, that's got to be one or two times all year he's mm-hmm. had more than 4 or 5 targets. That's just kind of what the number two role in this offense is. But I agree, if you had another guy of McLaurin's caliber, yeah, no kidding, it would be a lot better. I mean, it would help
them.
Well,
yeah. Like, so you're telling me a good player will help them? Now, I'm just thinking about those, you know, when you're trying to win games like that, I guess that's kind of my point here, is when it's winning time. You can get away with a lot when you're that much, and they deserve credit for this.
The Steelers don't have two of those, though. They have Pickens, who's good. They don't have anybody else. Mike Williams caught a touchdown.
He did.
He's done nothing all year with the Jets, and he's mostly gets hurt all the time. I mean, he is a nice player down the field, but like, I guess my point is
I wouldn't count on him down in and down out. But when it absolutely mattered, and he was one on one with somebody, he dominated that one time.
But I think if Noah Brown, as an example, had the same look against St. Jude's flat footed,
he'll run by him.
He
too.
Would run right by him and catch that ball. That was just a misplay by a DB, and they just kind of found a way to win. They had one guy who had more than 32 receiving yards. You know what the difference was? They ran the ball really well. They ran the ball 35 times with Warren and Harris yesterday. Wasn't even like they lit it up. I think Harris had like 20 for 50 or something.
Yeah,
like
Harris
that.
21 for 53, Warren 14 for 66, just over 4 yards a pop.
Nice change of pace. But yeah, I mean, I just think they had more success on the ground. They had more things going. Did you think Russell Wilson was that good? He ended up with 3 touchdowns. In the end of the game, winning time, I thought he was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He made some big throws. But throughout, he was like 8 for 20 or 9 for 20 to start the game. I thought he was very average for much of the day.
There were the your down in, down out wasn't overly impressive. But to your point, there were enough of those huge moments where it was old school vintage Russell Wilson, scrambling for, you know, for time, dumping it down to somebody, or even, you know, a little first down burst. Some of those deep balls where they were clearly thinking they could, and they were right, taking shots down the football field against Washington's coverage. Marshawn Lattimore can't get healthy quick enough, as far as I'm concerned.
No kidding.
Just thinking about some of the matchups and things.
McLaurin was tremendous.
I thought he was really good.
Went for a $113. He's on pace for 1,200. He's never done that before. And I thought their defense played well enough to win. I'll be curious to see as we go today. At some point, I want to just take calls straight up on the defense's game, because I am curious to see what people think. I think they were way better than the 28 points they allowed. Now, the one thing they've got to do, and this is an all-year-long issue, they have to make a stop in the red zone occasionally. Like some of these drives where, even on short fields, if you just turn 7 into 3, the whole game changes. The Steelers never had to trot out Boswell. If you can make them do that, then you're in a pretty good place. They couldn't. But they took the field on 5 consecutive drives, I think it was, in the second half, leading by 1 possession or trailing, where they just had to keep the offense afloat. And time and time and time and time again until that last drive, they were able to. You can't ask your defense to just keep bowing and holding up that way. And that's not the design of this team. That's not what this team's been all year.
No.
They did it in the Bears game. The defense won that team the football game, all respect to the Hail Mary, with 12 points going into the Hail Mary. And I thought if they would have won this game, it would have been about the defense. Because, yes, they scored 27. 7 of those were on a drive that started at the 15. If you remember, that was a 3-play 15-yard drive.
Mm-hmm.
They went 3 and out 5 times. They had 11 real drives. 9 of them were for 25 or fewer yards. They basically had 2 drives offensively in the whole game.
A couple backbreaking moments, though. Like a first down sack by Dante Fowler knocks him back 9 yards right away. George Pickens, not only did you get most of the yards back, you got a first down. There was a couple 3rd and 9s there in the second half, fourth quarter, where that's winning time. You've earned it. You did the work. And those were converted pretty easily. So, but in general, I think your point's 100% right. Defensively, I actually thought they were plenty fine for this group, because the standard for the offense is higher than it is for the defense.
Yeah, I mean, you look at after the first quarter touchdown, which was, by the way, on a drive that only netted 41 yards,
mm-hmm.
right? So after that, they allowed -5, -2, -25. These are yards per drive. 14, 12, -1. That was on the kneel down. So that doesn't count. But then Steelers come out 9 for 70. Go get a touchdown. Then 4 plays, 5 yards. 3 plays, -4 yards. They have the touchdown drive. And then, you know, 6 plays, 5 plays, total of 7 yards at the end. They should have won based on how their defense played, in my opinion. And they just didn't do enough. I mean, look at the offense. I tweeted something to this effect yesterday at Grant H. Paulson for me, at Funny Danny for DR. This was their 10th football game this year, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at where their offense ranked in this game among 10 games that they've played, yards per play, 10th, net yards, 10th by 57 yards, first downs, 9th out of 10 games, third down percentage, 8th out of 10 games, and they were 0 for until a drive right before the half, rushing net, 10th by 48 yards, passing net, 9th, number of points, 10th, time of possession, 10th, by far their worst offensive game. Not close.
Yeah, and that's you know, A stands to reason, that's the best defense they've played. But B, again, that's a different outing with the drops.
Does that give you a little bit of anxiousness that you finally played a really good defense and they shut you down?
Yeah.
Because it does to me, except that I go, well, maybe if you had one of your 2 top 3 tackles, maybe if you had B-Rob, it looks a little different. But let's open up the phones for game balls to the best and gassers to the worst. Who gets your game ball from yesterday's outing, and who are you going to make run a lap for struggling? 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.